Ready for a steady stream of hot takes and searing insights on today's most talked about topics? Cool. You could listen to that when you're done here. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Close the door behind you, please.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. I'm one of the people who are mentioned in the title. Thanks for being here. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be with you in just a moment. I'm a little busy right now. All right. Okay. Thanks for coming. Wow. May I compliment you at the very beginning of the program and tell you how lovely you look today? Your eyes are sparkling, your lips are pouty. I always start the show with generous compliments because I figure if I butter you up like a muffin, then you will just fall into my hands, you'll melt into my program, and that's my goal. It's not what I say, it's what I say in the beginning. There's a point, you know, you have to like your talk show host. You can't hate your talk show host, and you wouldn't listen to him. So I need to form this relationship of phony compliments, and it works every time, and you love it. I know you do, so do I. Anyway, welcome to the program. It's around this time of year that most talk show hosts do a review of the year that we're wrapping up right now. And I could do that too, but to be honest with you, I don't remember what happened this past year. I don't even know what I had for dinner last night, so it's difficult for me to wrap up the year. But let me wrap it up in one word. Oy. Yeah, I don't know what oi means. I don't think it's a real word. I know it's kind of a Hebrew expression, like when you're just like totally frustrated and you don't, it's like, crap. They say oi, and I think that sums it up real well in two letters. Oy, oi. Ron, how is your year this year? Oy, God. You can follow it up with phrases like, that sucked, you know, like, oi, that sucked, but it's not necessary. Oi takes care of all of it. I think it's respectful. I don't use oi a lot, but in this circumstance, it seems to fit really well. Sometimes I'll respond to people by saying, whatever, it really, they don't like that. They don't like whatever. It's like putting them off. You know, it's like you're flicking your fingers toward them going, go elsewhere, young man or young woman, depending on your sexual connotation. Whatever, you're bothering me. Whatever, just your talking is just like a bunch of words to me. It doesn't mean anything. Whatever, go in a hole somewhere and dig it deeper. Whatever. It's of no consequence to me. But you know what? It doesn't have to be a consequence to me. You don't have to be a consequence to everybody. I know I'm not. If I summed up this prior year, I would do it by saying it was the same as the other years. I don't know. I just don't know. Wasn't horrible. Wasn't wonderful. Like, as usual. But next year, oh my God, watch out for this one coming up. There is nothing to usher in this time. You're going to be having a presidential campaign that's going to last 12 months, or at least 11. I guess it's 11. I have trouble counting sometimes when there's a lot of numbers involved. Yeah, the presidential campaign is going to eat away at you. It's going to turn you into a ball of mushy, disgusting sarcasm. It's not going to work out for anybody. And I don't care what side of the fence you're on, Republican, Democrat, gerbil, I don't care. Doesn't matter. It's going to suck for everybody. It's going to be awful. Oh, God. It's going to be a year of we haven't gone through that yet in our history. It's going to be that kind of thing. What we're doing now is historical. This has never happened before. You're going to hear that 1,000 times because 1,000 things will have never happened before in the upcoming year. It's going to be tumultuous to the tumultuous nth degree. You better win a lottery ticket or something because you're going to need something. And then they're talking about a third political party. Oh, my God. I can hardly handle these two. And Congress, man, that oi, right? Oi. I'm being a little political at the top of the show. I'm sorry. If you don't like that, then you can go elsewhere, I suppose. But it's not going to get too heavy. Don't worry about it. I'm the one that has to worry about it, not you. You know what you need to do? Set up shop in your own world. That's what you need to do. I don't know where you live, in an apartment, in a house, in a box. It really doesn't make any difference. And I don't say that in a condescending manner. It really makes no difference. Set up shop where you live. Build a protective bubble from crap. It's called the crap bubble. It's like an air raid shelter kind of thing, you know, like if there's a tornado coming, you know, you go down to the shelter underground so you don't get swept up into the sky and thrusted 30 miles away, you know, that kind of tornado, you know, the type that was in The Wizard of Oz, wasn't real, but it looked like that. You know what I mean? Build your own shelter and that's it. And live your life just as you want, just as you did. Don't let other people's opinions affect you or anything like that. Build this hard candy shell. And I know it's the opposite of what most psychologists and sociologists will tell you. Be out in the open. Go to your fellow man and hug them and be a part of the community. No, don't do that. You're just asking for trouble. As soon as you reach your hand out, someone's going to spit in your palm. Ron, that's so pessimistic. Is it pessimistic or is it realistic? Because as I've said so many times on this show, and it's the theme of my program, is humanity can't get this thing right. We don't know how to do humanity. We fail at it. It's like people that get divorced 5 times. You don't know how to be married. You just don't know how to be married. You don't know how to get along with somebody. Well, that's humanity. We don't know how to get along with each other. We just don't. More wars are opening up than ever now. People fighting each other, destroying each other. We can't exist until the other side is annihilated. Oh, that's going to work out fine for everybody. Might be true, but just, you know, get real. Get real about it. There's going to be people that suck. Get real about it, my little Christian friends. And I say this even inside the church. Get real with it. People suck. I know many people that go to church, on Sundays even. And they're very pious and they're very God-fearing. And as soon as they walk out of church, they start cursing and knocking people around and abusing them. It didn't work. It didn't work. All the little ideas you had set up to make humanity wonderful and kumbaya and everybody loves each other didn't work out. Didn't work out. No. No. We love everybody, unless you're a different skin color, or you're from a different country, or you have a different religious background. Other than that, come on in. You don't understand. You never got the humanity concept, did you? You never understood that. Because so you're so scared that other people are out to destroy you. You know what? You're out to destroy them. You're playing the game full force, man, so don't blame anybody else but yourself. Yeah, no. This country has more violence in it than any other country because we got the guns all over the place. Assault weapons, if you want them. We just never got it down here. And stop it. And our judicial system, you can do something terribly, horribly awful in this country. And if you have a lot of money, you won't go to trial for years. Or you can get out of it completely if you have a lot of money and can hire an efficient, elite judicial attorney company force group. You can get out of anything, and you know it. And that's how fair things are in this country, right? Yeah, right. If you have a lot of money, you're saying, yeah, of course that's the way to do it. It's just doesn't make sense. And the only way that we can make a point is to put other people down, to make fun of them, to embarrass them, to destroy them. That's been the political thing, you know. We want to destroy the other party. We want to make them look bad. Oh, that's nice, but in doing so, you're destroying the whole country. So do you ever figure that out? You're supposed to, because you're in a position of doing that, like representing people, but you've taken this position to destroy other people. I don't understand you. And that's our government right now. That's the way we operate. Because we were on our own, you know. We were supposed to be nice, and we were supposed to be respectful and presidential. I know a guy that ruined that presidential image. What the hell happened here? Humanity? I don't think so. Evolving or devolving? I'll go for the D part. Ron, this is supposed to be a comedy show. Oh, why am I talking to myself in the third person? You see, it's getting to me too. Anyway, I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. I think you'll find the guest interesting. I don't know. What am I supposed to do here? This is a part of the program. You're not paying me to listen to this. Someone has to, right? So we have guests. That's what we do. A lot of people didn't know that I am an actual doctor. I have I'm a doctor. You can call me a doctor. You can call me whatever you want, but I mean, you can do that. I would like to be called Dr. Van Dam from this point on, if you don't mind, because I am creating my own little world. And I think if you want to be in it, you should play the part. You call me Dr. Van Dam for now on. And when I want to go to a restaurant and it's really busy and they say there's going to be about 45 minutes before we can seat you, Mr. Van Dam, I will say to the host or hostess, whoever that person is, I will say, it's Dr. Van Dam. You can put me on the list, but I would appreciate a table. I have things to do. Oh, okay, doctor. Now, see, when you say Dr. Van Dam, they don't get into it. They don't say, oh, what kind of doctor are you? They don't do, never do they ever do that. It's a title. They never delve into that. Oh, are you a medical doctor? Because that would get you table right away. You don't have to say what kind of doctor you are, and I don't have to either. I happen to be a gynecologist. Big deal, all right? So sue me. I'm not a gynecologist. If it was a hostess in the restaurant and I said I was a gynecologist, would it get me a table or would it never get me a table? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that works. But I am a doctor, all right? And I should use the title, but I don't. Because I'm humble, like pie. I don't understand that. I don't understand that phrase. Humble pie. What the hell does that mean? How can you have a pie that's humble? You're putting a human trait onto a pie. You can't do that. Stop it. People annoy me. Oi. I am a doctor. And That's what I do. People say to me, Ron, why don't you open up a practice? Practice? I wouldn't do it if I had to practice. I don't understand that term either. Yes, I'm a practicing physician. Well, when are you going to be a real one? I'm still practicing. I don't have it right. I got to practice. Then I'll get it right. In the meantime, can I operate on you? Why? I'm a practicing surgeon. Oh, let me know when you finish practicing and you can really do it. I'm a practicing attorney. How much do you practice? Do you want me to quiz you on the test? Don't tell me that you're practicing. If you're good at it and you do it all the time, you shouldn't have to practice. I don't understand that phrase. I don't get it. I don't know the difference between a practicing attorney or practically an attorney. I don't understand the difference. Well, would you, I could go to jail for 40 years. Could you represent me in court? Well, I'm practically an attorney. Oh, okay, never mind. I'll go somewhere else. Or if they say, I'm a practicing attorney, I would react the same way. Oh, you're practicing? I need a person that doesn't have to practice anymore, that just does it really well. I mean, doesn't have to go home and go, okay, let me see. What do I do if, I got to practice. I got to practice this before I can go. No, I don't want you. I don't want you. I want a real attorney. So I'm a doctor. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Doctor is good, too, because you don't have to know the person's name. See, I forget people's names because they don't care so much. You know, it's not a question of forgetting. It's a question of not caring to begin with. So there's no reason to retain that information if I don't care about it. So if someone says, my name is Robert Bonaviti, I will never remember your name ever, 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 ever. But if you're Dr. Robert Bonaviti, I'll know you're a doctor always, and I'll refer to you simply as doctor, and I don't have to remember your name anymore. Hey, how have you been, doctor? How's everything? Great. How have you been, doctor? Great, great. Hey, doctor, how's the wife? Wife's good, Ron. How's your wife? Good, good, doctor. You don't have to know their name anymore. You just call them by their title, and they love that. Like Dr. Phil. He's not a real doctor anymore. I don't think he ever really was. He may have gotten a degree in doctorish, but he's not a doctor. Like, he can't touch you or prescribe medicine for you. He's not that kind of doctor. Everybody thinks he is because he never clarified. Or when he did, no one really cared. So he's Dr. Phil. Many people don't know his last name is McGraw. Like that cartoon character dog there, Quickdraw McGraw. Dr. Phil McGraw has been on this program 3 times. Who cares? Well, he's a doctor. Oh, a doctor. Come right in, doctor. Sit down in the chair, doctor. Let me clean the carpet under your feet, doctor. Now, doctors are very important people because they do save lives and they keep us healthy, and it's a very, very important position. I'm just saying. Doctors like to be called doctors. They've earned that. Medical school is tough, man. It's tough. You got to keep up on it, and you got to see sick people. It's an admirable position. It is. It's like a teacher. I like teachers, too. There are some positions that are every position is important. If your toilet is leaking, a plumber is like a real important person. Everybody's important in what they do. Well, not everybody, but most people. But I'm into the doctor thing, man. I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it and not abuse it because I am a doctor, and I'm going to start having people call me that. When people say, can I help you, Mr. Van Dam? It's Dr. Van Dam, if you don't mind. Excuse me. It's Doctor, excuse me, you'll properly address me, otherwise don't talk to me at all. I'm a doctor. I'm going to have to get stern with them until they get it. And then you don't have to remember my name anymore. You just call me doctor. And I will be fine. And if you don't like me as a doctor, I can just say I'm just practicing, that's all. Don't get huffy about it. I'm a practicing doctor. And someday, I'll get it right, or I don't have to practice anymore. Not just yet. but someday. My guest joins me after this.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy, Cajun spice, free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Hi, Ron. Morning, Ron.
Hello, everybody. Kristen Chenoweth joins us. She's an Emmy and Tony Award-winning actress. And Dr. Mandy Francis joins us as well. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Pleasure to talk to the both of you. Kristen, I know you know her, and a lot of people know you from The Good Wife. But as I understand, there was an incident that occurred there.
Yeah, we were on set, and it was in 2012, and a set piece fell on my head and threw me back into a curb. So I had several injuries, which basically caused me to have chronic pain disease. And I didn't, honestly, Ron, I didn't even know that chronic pain was a disease.
Yeah.
But I've been dealing with it since and learning what works for me, and it's ever evolving and always changing. But this whole campaign that Dr. Francis and I are involved with, called This Is Pain, has really given me the opportunity, because for so long I didn't talk about it. I wouldn't talk about it. I didn't want people to think I couldn't work, and I was a little bit ashamed of it even. And so this has just been given me having a great opportunity to speak about people who have chronic pain disease and what it's like to live with it.
Wow. Dr. Francis, how common is this? I mean, I also didn't think it was a disease. I thought it was a situation by situation thing. Is this a common problem that a lot of people have, but they don't connect with each other?
Yeah, you know, over 10 million Americans suffer from chronic pain.
Whoa.
Yeah, in the medical field, we look at chronic pain as any pain that's lasted more than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about that, a lot of people are probably scratching their head like, oh my God, you know, I've been hurting for a year or two. And, you know, these patients are all different. They have pain that's numb, tingling, burning, sharp, shooting, ants crawling, bee stinging. It's very different for each person. And one of the things we want to do with this campaign is we want to reach out to those patients and say, hey, listen, you have a disease that we want to help you with. We don't want you to feel like you can't talk about it. We don't want you to feel isolated. You know, we want to give you a voice, a platform to speak, and we want to try and help you, and we need to know what it is we can do to help you. We want to get rid of that stigma with the family, the friends, the coworkers who really don't understand the disease, and really get them to be educated so that together, collectively, we can maybe help these patients live a better quality of life, more functionality.
Kristen, were you thinking what I would think, in the sense that, okay, if I have pain, let's find a medical cure for that. Let's take care of whatever it is so I can get on with my life here. It would seem simple at that point, wouldn't it?
Oh, you would think so, right? But I want to encourage people that have chronic pain or find out that that's what they have to work with their caregiver, because, you know, each day is a new day and everybody's pain is so different.
Uh-huh.
And I'm constantly evolving. I say that I'm a student of it because I still, you know, I fly a lot. Mm-hmm. I sing, as you know, and perform and act a lot.
Yeah, I'm
set, being in one position, all of those things, Ron, you know. And I really, like I said, for so long didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have an opportunity to talk about it, not feeling I'm completely alone in an industry where we're supposed to look perfect, be perfect, all these things, now it's been a great journey with my doctors and I. And honestly, I've had several second opinions, third opinions, and I think that's absolutely okay to do that. And you should do that because you need to be your own best advocate.
Okay. Dr. Francis, were you going to say something?
Well, you know, she was talking about being your own advocate. I think one of the things that I would say is that patients should advocate for themselves, but we need them to feel empowered to do so. We need them to feel comfortable to say, hey, I need some help. And I think a lot of pain patients feel like they just have to stick it out. You know, they just have to keep moving. And really, there's so many options for treatment out there that they really need to have that discussion with their provider. And we want to encourage patients to feel like they can have that conversation so they can get the treatment they need.
Okay. Is this like similar to, for example, a chronic back pain where I know so many people just within my own circle here that sometimes good days, bad days, but it's always there. It doesn't ever seem to resolve. It's something you kind of live with. Is it that kind of thing?
It is exactly what it is. You know, it can be very different. It could be back pain, neck pain, arm pain. You know, there's so many things that people just accept when there's something that could be done.
Well, when you get older, that becomes part of the deal, too, I guess.
You know? I know. Yeah, no, not when you're young, do they?
No, you don't expect when you're young, like Kristen, no. Yeah, well, it's true. Okay. How do we get more information about this kind of thing? Because there's probably thousands of people listening to this that are saying, oh, my God, yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm excited to see is for people to go on thisispain.com and check out the website. It gives people a free forum to discuss their pain and maybe ask questions. Also, we have this weekend here in New York, there's at the Oculus building downtown, there's a beautiful art exhibit that an artist,
Trina Mary.
Yeah, she made these beautiful sculptures of what pain might look like. And I saw one that had kind of a kaleidoscope, and I thought, oh, that's totally me. That's me.
Yeah.
But people can go online and check that out, and all the socials at This Is Pain and hashtag This Is Pain. So we really want to encourage your listeners to do that so that they can find out, meet, talk with, and just see what other people have to say.
Yeah. I always find great comfort in other people suffering what I'm suffering. Suffering is the wrong word. But, I mean, I always, you know, your immediate reaction is, why me? You know, why do I have to go through this? And then you meet, like, a whole population of people that are okay with it, but it's not just you. That's psychologically such a comfort just to know you're not alone in something like that.
It's so healing in and of itself, Ron. When I started really talking to my closest friends about, like, the challenges, you know, that I've had, especially while performing, you'd be amazed at how great people are. They're like, I've got your back. Sean Hayes, when we were on Broadway together, I said, today's not a good day. I can't really move my arms. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I got you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to move your arms. Just be in the scene with me, and I've got you. You're not going to fall, and you're going to be okay. And it's nice to be able to share it.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for spreading the word on this. It's going to help a lot of people. Where again can we visit?
This is pain.com and also at This Is Pain, and also make a hashtag, and it's out there.
Excellent. Dr. Mandy Francis, thank you so much for the information, and Kristen, thanks for entertaining us. Continue to do so, because you must do so.
And, thanks,
okay, you take care.
Have a good one.
Take care. Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful. I don't know how to thank you, so I just won't. That's all. I just won't. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until then, I wish you peace.